I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a
soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth, stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ, I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's actually on the road today. He won't be here, but my good friend Father Charles Murr is joining us. And boy, do we have a show for you. And we've got so many good things to talk about. One of them is Father James has got now over a million people watching his video, Father Altman. That's incredible. Fame, Father James Altman. Now, Father Altman gave that talk, I guess, 6 weeks ago. We had him on our radio show with Bishop Strickland. He's the only bishop that actually affirmed him on that video. So you can still watch that by going to our website. It's an amazing interview. Also, we're going to talk about Our Lady of the Rosary. This is her feast day. And across America, there's over 3,000 rosary rallies to combat the violent riots that are going on throughout America, which is, I think, a great response. And then Father Charles Murr, are you with me, my friend?
I am, sir. Good
praise,
morning.
Praise God. Father Murr, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to be talking about your interview with Inside the Vatican regarding the church from Pope Pius XII to Vatican II, the hidden history of the key church. So I want to talk about that with this interview, and I think people are going to find it fascinating. But before we do the interview and we talk about all these other items, we take the top of the food chain, which is our gospel today. Every single day we have a reading from the gospel. And Father Murr, we're actually taking a special reading because it's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And after the gospel commentary, I always give a story about Our Lady of the Rosary because I was married on this day 30-some years ago. So I have a great devotion to Our Lady and the Rosary. But today's gospel is Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Could you not read it, could you proclaim it, please?
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Glory to you, O Lord, yep.
At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When Mary had heard him, she was troubled at his word and kept pondering what manner of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he shall be king over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How shall this happen, since I do not know man?" The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And therefore, the one who is to be born shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, also has conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing shall be impossible with God." Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Very well done. So, Father, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, that's where it all started, in a sense. I mean, in the little town of Galilee.
You know, Terry, every time I read the gospel and you say, very well done, I remember Fulton Sheen when he was thanking his writers.
Yeah.
He said, I've got the best writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yes. Oh, that's great.
And this gospel is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I would just give one small kernel for meditation on it.
Okay.
The first word that the angel communicating God's will to the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, who was I can't exaggerate what a powerful man he was, an influence in the church. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux said this: when the angel said the first word Ave, he turned the word Ava, Eve, mm-hmm. around. It was the opposite. Now Mary was going to become the mother of the living. As sin and death entered through the sin of Adam and Eve, through the new Eve, the reverse would happen, life and grace. This feast of the Holy Rosary is fantastic also.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that. Yeah.
Sure. Let's just get this.
Sure.
The rosary as a prayer mm-hmm. almost developed on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've got many apparitions of the Blessed Mother
sure.
giving the rosary and telling people to, encouraging people to pray it. But it almost began as on its own. And I think this is a great way to understand how it came about. In the time when there were no clocks, no watches, no smartphones, to measure time in the monasteries and in convents, they would measure times by prayers. So they would give to a meditation. We're going to meditate on this. We're going to meditate on that. The meditation would be the length of 1 hour, Father, 10 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was the length. It's a beautiful way to measure time in prayer.
That's something.
So while you're measuring time, you're also praying.
Yep.
This sort of reminds me, very much reminds me, of the Jews. When you see the Jews at the wall of the temple, which is not the temple wall, but we'll leave that for another time.
Mm-hmm.
When they pray, they move. They bob back and forth,
mm-hmm.
move back and forth. Because God wanted prayer to be of the whole, a whole human experience, physical and spiritual. So in other words, what the Jews are doing at that moment is dancing. That's their dance, adding to their prayer, so that the body is involved with the soul in prayer.
Wow.
We do the same thing in the rosary. We say Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, with our mouths, while we're thinking with our minds the meditation of the mystery. We're meditating on the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
We have both body and mind involved in this prayer. It's a beautiful, beautiful, powerful prayer.
Certainly is.
And in 1571,
right.
Pope Pius the Fifth,
mm-hmm.
Saint Pope Pius the Fifth, understood very well what was happening in the world. Christianity and Western civilization could have come to an end, an abrupt end.
Right.
The Ottomans were waging war against all of Europe, and they wanted the golden apple, Rome.
Yep.
That was the goal. In 1571, a little bit before that, the Pope, Pius the Fifth, put together the Holy League. Different nations came together, and they put together a naval force.
That's right.
And it was given to John of Austria, Don Juan of Austria, to lead. And he led that force against the Ottoman navy, which was much more powerful than the Holy League's navy.
Right.
And a miracle happened because of this. The Pope asked everyone in Christianity.
That's right.
To be praying the rosary, praying the rosary, mm-hmm. praying the rosary for a victory. And the wind changed. Can you imagine?
I love this scene. Picture it.
I don't know why. I've been trying to get a hold of Mel Gibson for years to talk him into doing a movie on Lepanto. I'm serious.
I agree.
Just imagine the scene. The Holy League's navy went into that battle on the ocean.
Outnumbered.
In the form... yeah. in the, and in the form of a cross.
That's right.
The ships were in the form of a cross.
Yep.
And the Ottomans' navy came against them with all of their ships in the form of the crescent moon.
Wow.
Imagine. I mean, just
picture that.
Picture that one.
Yeah.
That's got to be fantastic.
Father, wait. We're going to take a quick break. Father, wait. I want you to tell the rest of the story. It's a teaser right now. You got the picture of the Ottomans, the Muslims, and you got the Christians in Europe face off, a sea battle on the 7th of October, 1571. Picture all this right now in your mind, everyone, because when we come back, we're going to let Father Murr tell the rest of the story. And then after that, I want to play a little clip from President Trump to Catholics. I think you're going to be impressed with that. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is filling in for Jesse today, and we're talking about Our Lady of the Rosary because this is the feast day, and Father's going to describe what happened many, many years ago on October 7th, 1571, a great sea battle. And when we come back, he'll tell the rest of that story. Don't turn that dial. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
I bet you're on the edge of your chair after what Father Murr was just talking about, this great naval battle taking place back on October 7th, Feast of the Holy Rosary, 1571. Father, you've described the two sides facing off, one in the crescent, one in the cross. Continue, please. It's an exciting story.
Well, as the Christian forces were much fewer
oh, yeah.
in number and in strength. Mm-hmm. They just were. And a lot of this had to do with the Protestant Reformation, which happened at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't have the Protestants participating in this, although at the end with the victory, they shared in the victory because they were spared.
Of course,
right?
Yes.
However, when they went into this battle, it wasn't very.
It didn't look good for us.
The future of that battle, right?
Yes.
Remember, Don Juan of Austria.
Yes.
Was an incredible man. I think he was 24 years old.
Young, very young. Yes.
I think he was 24 years old. Imagine this.
Yep.
And a handsome devil,
yeah,
handsome guy.
That's right.
Anyway, he's running the show there. He would not have one of his sailors on any of his ships involved in this battle without first going to confession and
awesome.
Being in the state of grace.
Awesome.
You and Terry, you and Jesse always say at the end of each show,
yep,
what state is it to be in?
Yep.
The state of grace.
Yep.
He would not go into battle with this entire Navy.
Smart man.
Each man had gone to confession and was in grace.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You bet.
That's what he went into. And everyone in the Christian world is praying the rosary at the same time of this. All of the sudden, and the Christians are losing, all of the sudden, the wind changes from one direction, supporting the Ottomans, the Muslims, mm-hmm, coming toward. It changes against them and in favor of the Christians. Their ships went with the wind with a ferocity,
mm-hmm,
against the Muslim troops, and the battle was finished. It was done. An incredible thing that happened during this time, the Pope in Rome,
yep,
saw the battle.
That's right.
This is St. Pope Pius V. Mm-hmm. St. Pope Pius V, who codified the Tridentine Mass for us,
mm-hmm,
also.
Yep.
Right? A great Dominican saint, one of the strongest popes we ever had. And he saw this, and he saw the victory. And he proclaimed the victory without knowing officially that it had happened.
Hmm.
Nobody came. There were no emissaries that came running to tell him there was a victory. He saw it.
Hmm.
And he proclaimed the victory and gave thanks to Our Lady of the Rosary. And he proclaimed that feast day. It's called, traditionally it was called Our Lady of Victory.
That's right.
Because it was the victory over the Christian forces. Over the Muslims, and the salvation of Europe was reclaimed. Fantastic thing. Later on, it was decided that through the intercession of so much prayer of the Rosary, the feast should be changed to Our Lady of the Rosary.
Right.
So that's where we have the feast of. We have churches in Manhattan, Our Lady of Victory,
mm-hmm,
and we have Our Lady of the Rosary. It's
right.
The same Our Lady. But there's one little thing I want to say to our Hispanic listeners.
Yes.
Especially the Mexicans.
Oh, I love this part. Yep, Guadalupe. Yep,
a special place in my heart for the Mexican people.
Yes,
because Our Lady herself had a special place in her heart for them.
Right.
Right over the. It's called the. In Spanish, it's called the timón. The I'm going to get this wrong in English. The steering wheel.
Yeah, but I get it.
The steering wheel of the ship.
Right.
All right. I'm sure anybody who is aware of maritime vocabulary is going to be
That's
very
not
upset
it, yeah.
with me for not knowing it. But
right
over that. John of Austria, Don Juan of Austria, had an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Fascinating.
Brought over from Mexico.
Yep.
Brought over from Mexico. And she was the guiding force that went against the Muslim forces. And there's a particular dislike that our Muslim friends have of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Right.
And that is because she's standing on the crescent moon.
Exactly. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All right. Anyway, we can go on.
No, you know what, Father? We could do a whole hour on this topic. I've read enough on this.
Good.
And I just love having you tell that story. Thank you so much. Father Murr, we're going to bring the smartest guy in the room, and it's not you or me, that's for sure. It's Fulton J. Sheen, full sheen ahead. Father, you've never heard this quote before. I'm going to give it to you, and then I want to hear what you have to say because it's very thought-provoking. He says this, and think about the enemies of God right now. He says, the fact the enemies of God must face is that modern civilization has conquered the world. But in doing so, it has lost its soul. And in losing its soul, it will lose the very world it gained, even our own so-called liberal culture in the United States, which has tried to avoid complete secularization by leaving little zones of individual freedom, is in danger of forgetting that these zones were preserved only because religion was in their soul. Now, this is the statement that this last sentence is so powerful, Father Murr. Fulton Sheen says, and as religion fades, so will freedom, for only where the Spirit of God is there liberty. Your thoughts?
Beautiful. How do you follow
that? How do you follow that? Yeah.
Follow that?
Did you ever hear that quote before, Father Murr? Did you ever hear that quote?
No, I hadn't.
I didn't either.
I remember.
I search these quotes. It takes me a long time to get new ones. And when I read that, I was so moved by that last statement. As religion fades, so will freedom. For only where the Spirit of God is, there liberty. Now, Father, I'm going to make one more statement. Not very politically correct. But I'm going to ask this question. How many souls will be lost who will lose their eternal salvation because of prudential decisions of closing Catholic churches? Now, I say that, I ask that question because I believe that what has happened in the church in the last 7 months has been devastating to the souls of so many people. And I believe, as Fulton Sheen says, if souls are saved, everything is saved. If souls aren't saved, nothing is saved. So my comment, Father Murr, is I believe we need to open the churches as essential, working in our countries, essential things that need to be done, as guess who? President Trump said that. And I just want to ask our leaders in the church, and this is going to tie into the interview that I'm going to have with you in a few minutes about your book. But before I do that, I want to play President Trump's message to Catholics and to all people of goodwill, because I think it's going to blow you away. So let's play that clip.
I also want to express my deep gratitude to every person who prays for me and for the First Lady and for our country. We love our country. There's no country like it. I grew up next to a Catholic church in Queens, New York, and I saw how much incredible work the Catholic Church did for our community. These are amazing people. These are great, great people. Catholic schools give many underserved children the chance to reach their God-given potential. Catholics of all backgrounds share the love of Christ with the most vulnerable as they care for the elderly, the homeless, and neighbors in need. Our nation is strong because of Catholics and all people of faith. We believe in the joy of family, the blessing of freedom, and the dignity of work, and the eternal truth that every child, born and unborn, is made in the holy image of God. I will always protect the vital role of religion and prayer in American society, and I will always defend the sacred right to life. Today, I am announcing that I will be signing the Born Alive Executive Order to ensure that all precious babies born alive, no matter their circumstances, receive the medical care that they deserve. This is our sacrosanct moral duty. We are also increasing federal funding for the neonatal research to ensure that every child has the very best chance to thrive and to grow.
Wow. Father Murr, when I watched that, I was so happy to hear the President of the United States acknowledging religious liberty as his top priority, especially the unborn. I would be happy to play the other side, which is former Vice President Biden's comments about Catholics, but he's already made so many derogatory statements about Catholics and about our religious freedom regarding the little sisters of the poor and killing of unborn babies. I just played that because I want people to understand there's a huge contrast between both parties when you read the platform. So when you go to vote, I'm trying to influence you that you will vote in a pro-life manner and also for religious freedom. Father Murr, you told me on the phone off the air that you saw that clip yesterday. What were your thoughts as a priest?
I could hardly believe it. I could hardly believe what I was hearing. Seriously. I think, I'm 70 years old. I'm an old man already.
Yeah.
Old man already. And I don't think I've ever heard a president or a political figure, a politician, speak so openly and so highly of my faith, of the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. It was amazing. It blew me away. It really did.
Yeah, I think that...
I was amazed.
Yeah, I was amazed. I wish our bishops would at least acknowledge this, because it's so important that we vote with our Catholic moral conscience. And we have not had a president be so Catholic in its teachings. Even when the administration last week, they actually chided the Vatican for religious freedom in China, saying, guys, stick to your guns. Don't compromise with these Chinese communist government. The people are being persecuted. Would you please stand up, as you have done for centuries, for your flock? And I think that, you know, some people that irritates, Father, but I just want to say that when we talk to you and we come back from the break about this interview you have, this is all tied back into what you've experienced 40, 50 years ago in the 1970s. And I think our listeners are going to be going, wow, how do I get your book? And this is an interview from Inside the Vatican. I would recommend that you folks check out Inside the Vatican, subscribe to it. Robert Monahan, I've met him many times over at my house 35 years ago when he was working with Father Fessio years ago. And I just would recommend that you subscribe to Inside the Vatican. This is a special Inside the Vatican interview with Father Murr. Now, Father Murr is going to talk about really the challenges that we're facing today and the genesis of where it came from. You're going to be blown away by that. Father Murr, one more thought that I have, tying it back in, because we got a minute before the break, about Our Lady of the Rosary and how lay people are doing rosary rallies all up and down the country, 3,000 rosary rallies. They want it. Their goal is to get 11,000 rosary rallies going, and I'm going to give the number 844-830-3570 to call that number and ask, how can I get a rosary rally going in my town? Father Murr, I know you love the rosary. You've talked so beautifully about it. But when we come back, I'd like to talk now about the interview you did on Inside the Vatican magazine called The Hidden History of the Key, from Pius XII to Vatican II, The Hidden History of the Key Church Epoch. It'll be coming right back with the Terry and Jesse Show after this quick break. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is my guest. In the last 4 weeks, we've got nearly 5,000 new YouTube listeners. So I'm going to ask Father Charles Murr to give a little background on himself for those who don't know who he is, and then we're going to get right into his new book. So Father Charles Murr, please tell our listeners a little background. I know you've answered a couple of the questions in this interview, but I'd like to just give the people a kind of a bird's eye view of your growing up and your vocation.
Where to start?
Yeah, just
oldest
start.
Seven children.
Yeah, right.
Oldest
yeah.
of seven children, Catholic family. Mm-hmm. Finished undergraduate work in college. Did mm-hmm. finish college here in the United States, and after college, wanted to go on to study. Wanted to study pre-law, mm-hmm. to be a lawyer.
Yep.
Went to Rome.
Like your dad.
Philosophy.
Yep.
And logic.
Uh-huh.
And there met a man who changed my life, a Monsignor.
Yep.
Kind of took me under his wings. And I remember I was just telling this to somebody the other day.
Yeah.
I remember talking to him. We were making a general confession. I was walking around with him
yep.
at St. Peter's Square. It was after 10 o'clock at night and late. And I said, well, how do you know if you have a vocation or not?
Right.
How do you know if you have a calling to the priesthood? Because he was trying to sort of talk me into considering the priesthood. And he said, I want you to be a priest. And I turned and looked at him. I said, what is that? I said, well, did you hear me? You just got your calling.
Wow.
He said, oh, you're the one calling? He said, I am.
That's amazing.
I said, wow, that was kind of direct. Anyway, I thought about it. It wasn't just as magical as all that, but I thought about it for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to him, I became a priest. On May 13th, 1977,
oh my
I was
gosh.
Ordained in Rome.
Yeah,
and that's that. I worked in the Vatican for 5 years in the information office.
Sure.
And this Monsignor was working in the Secretary of State.
Yep.
Through him, I met a lot of interesting, very interesting people.
Well, Father, let me just jump in. That's my question. While you were studying in Rome, there's some, you know, you had some most notable people that you came in contact with or even befriended. Can you name, is it okay to name some of these people?
I suppose so. Most of them have already gone to God. So
there you go. go ahead.
It would be Cardinal Benelli.
Yes.
Cardinal Gagnon.
No, he's great.
Cardinal Felici.
Yep.
Felici ordained me up together with Gagnon.
Wow.
Monsignor Mario Marini, Zanoni. Quite a few people also, and above all in the female category is Mother Pascalina.
You got to tell us.
Pope Pius XII's secretary
yeah.
for
there you go.
Almost 42 years.
But how did you meet her?
Now, let me just caution.
Sure.
Let me just, a word of caution. I hear a lot of people giving interviews and it sort of irritates me a little bit.
Yes.
Because they seem to be plugging their book.
Yes.
Plugging this and plugging that to
sure.
make money.
Yeah.
The reason I wrote this book
mm-hmm.
had nothing to do with achieving a bestseller status
right.
or making money. Mm-hmm. What came to me when I was approaching 70 years of age is I better write some of this stuff down.
Exactly.
Some of the stuff that happened just so that it'd be written down and it's there. That's the reason for writing the book.
Smart
so
book.
If people want to buy it or not buy it, doesn't matter.
Right.
But the reason for it was that, and the book is The Godmother.
Yes, many people have read it. It's fantastic.
Because Mother Pasqualina was my godmother for ordination.
Wow.
Explained in the book. But through her,
yes,
and through Marini and through Cardinal Gagnon and Benelli, all of these people, I got a very good idea of what had happened to our church and what was happening. And I'm talking about the 1970s,
yes,
which were crucial years. This is right after the crazy 68,
yes,
if you will, the crazy 68 revolution.
Right.
And right after the Second Vatican Council,
right,
which I happen to believe is very much tied to the 1968 sexual revolution, too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
There was a problem. The authority of the church was undermined in the mid-60s, and that gave way to what was happening in the latter 60s. So those years after the council in the 60s and in the 70s,
yes,
were crucial for the church because the church was being changed.
Right.
Was being changed.
Well, before,
dramatically.
Yeah, back up to Mother Pasqualina. Give us a little background of who she is, who she was, because she played a very important role for like four decades in the church with the Holy Father. Tell us a little bit of her background.
Well, she was, beyond any shadow of any doubt, she was the most powerful woman in Vatican history, I
think.
There
you go.
She was the, and Pope Pius XII knew that.
Yeah.
And he liked very much having her, a woman, as a guard. She was great. She could read people. She knew what their intentions were, and she dealt with them very well. And she helped the Holy Father in a lot of things in a lot of ways, and especially with his dealings, sometimes dealings even with cardinals and different.
All right, you got me. What about the time the cardinal came from China who left his country in 49? Didn't Mother have something to tell him? Tell us that story again. It's such a great story.
Well, I just told it. I just told it the other day.
Oh, you did. Well, then I didn't. Well, there you go. If people already heard it, I've heard it 100 times. But
named this cardinal.
Yeah.
He named a man from China.
Yep.
A cardinal. He wanted to make international the College of Cardinals, and he was very pleased to do so. Anyway, the Communist Revolution came after this man was made a cardinal, and he escaped China,
right,
and came to the Vatican to speak with the Pope. Pope Pius XII was a no-nonsense man, absolutely no-nonsense. He refused to meet with him. And he said to Mother Pasqualina, you meet with him. You meet with him and ask him if he thinks that he's dressed in red. ask him what that means to him.
Yeah.
Ask him what it means and see if he comes up with the right answer. He's dressed in red to give his blood in testimony for the church.
Man.
And then ask him, what is he doing here in Rome and why isn't he back in Peking?
Yep.
With his people? Why isn't he in prison or with his people?
Sure.
Right? That was it. So Mother Pasqualina, of course, you can imagine a woman coming down to
talk. I think it's hilarious.
And refusing an audience with the Pope and giving him a tongue lashing.
I love it. Like only she
and
could.
She was good. As only she could. She was also no nonsense. Bavarian, 100%. Anyway.
Well, that's a great story.
There were many things like that, but these were different times. But the church was established. The church knew who the church was, and the church also knew who the church's enemies were.
Yeah,
that line was blurred. Let me put it nicely.
Yeah,
blurred during and after the Second Vatican Council until this day, until today.
Father, there were some things said about Mother Pasqualina in a book, a notorious, terrible book called, it was back, I think, in the 1960s, Hitler's Pope. Have you read this book? And what would Mother say in response to both its portrait of her and its no-holds-barred attack against the venerable Pius XII?
Well, the first thing is that it's not based on any facts.
Fiction.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
It is fiction.
Yeah.
It is, and it's evil fiction.
Yep.
There's a term that's become popularized today, and we understand it as disinformation.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's
fake
exactly
news.
What it is. Very good. Yes, what President Trump called fake news.
Exactly.
Since in the 1960s and 70s was called disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russians, the communists, were experts at disinformation.
Yeah.
Experts.
Father,
so I don't consider that book anything but that.
Yeah.
Disinformation and garbage.
Well, Father, I know we got another segment coming up with you, but I want to make sure you can take the time to demonstrate what happened in the 1970s. And the one story that I think is very, it's actually in the 80s when it took place, when Pope John Paul II was shot. And what was going on? Would you please share that beautiful story regarding the cardinal who ordained you and your involvement with Pope St. John Paul II when he was shot and he had asked him to do something and, something about an investigation about Masons? Could you share that story?
You want it now?
I want it now because I only got one more segment left. You can tease us right now.
Let me tell you.
Because it's a great story. It really portrays what's going on.
Cardinal Gagnon for 3 years was investigating the Roman Curia.
Yep.
He was ordered by Pope Paul VI to investigate the Roman Curia. Finally, it occurred to Pope Paul VI toward the end of his reign.
78.
That there was something wrong.
Yep.
That there was something wrong with the central government of the church.
You got it.
I think we can see that today, can we not?
Big time.
There's something wrong. Something went wrong.
Yep.
Right. Well, something went wrong because somebody wasn't really in charge and holding down the fortress. However, Pope Paul VI in 1975 assigned then Archbishop Gagnon to an investigation of the Roman Curia. It took him 3 years, this investigation.
Mm-hmm.
Full time was his job. When he was finished with it, he reported back just to Pope Paul VI, and Pope Paul VI said he was too old and too tired to do anything with the results.
Wow.
There were some very startling results.
Yes, hang on a second. That was 1978. Hang on, Father. We got to take a quick break. I hear the music. We're going to finish that story. It's a powerful story about Freemasonry and Pope Paul VI, John I, and John Paul II II. You're not going to want to miss it to hear this story. Put your seatbelts on because this is going to blow you away. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Father Charles Murr filling in for Jesse Romero is telling us a very incredible story from Cardinal Gagnon, who was identified as doing an investigation that Pope Paul VI asked about Freemasonry inside the Vatican. And then, as Father Murr was saying, Pope Paul VI died in 1978. He was too old to follow up. And so now, Father, can you finish the story? Because it's a great one.
Sure. I should say this, that Pope Paul VI did meet with Archbishop Gagnon for the result of that investigation. But he said he was too old
yep.
and tired to continue with it. He died 50 days after that interview.
Wow.
When John Paul I was elected pope, he called in Gagnon immediately, a few days after his election, sat down with him, and they went through the whole study, which involved some very important changes to be made in the central government of the church. Mm-hmm. However, let me say this.
Yes.
John Paul I, I think is a saint. I think the man is a saint. He was a very good man, mm-hmm. and he would have made a great pope had they let him. However, he died 33 days later.
Right.
He made one mistake that I just talked about yesterday with someone else. And his one mistake was a fatal mistake. He reconfirmed everyone in the Roman Curia. The Roman Curia is the central government of the church, for those who are unfamiliar with that term. He reconfirmed everyone in his place.
Ouch.
He didn't make any changes right from the beginning.
Right.
I said to somebody, it would be sort of like, if you could imagine, he didn't change his Secretary of State. The Secretary of State after the Pope is the most important man in the church.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who's setting the climate for everything. It would be as if President Trump, after he said thank you for winning the election, then in his next breath announced to all of us, by the way, I'm going to keep Hillary Clinton on as Secretary of State for a while until I can figure out what I'm doing. Well, it would be absurd, even the very idea. Unfortunately, that's what John Paul I did. He kept the same people, all of them, in their places. Well, you don't do that. And I think, ultimately, that's a new book that I'm writing, and I think that cost him his life. But anyway, John Paul I met with Cardinal Gagnon, ready to make all of the changes, and died before he could make them. John Paul II came along. He was elected. He also called in Gagnon because nothing had been done with the results of this visitation, with this investigation that Gagnon conducted for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the information was ripe. It's there to be used. John Paul II listened to him and sort of wasn't too impressed. His was a different direction. He was going to travel the world. He was going to take the gospel out to people who had not heard the gospel or who were hungry for the gospel. He was going to connect directly to the people. It's a shame that Twitter wasn't around during the time of John Paul II, because he would have certainly used it just like President Trump is using it.
Sure.
I can guarantee you. However, by doing that, that's wonderful. And he brought the gospel to millions upon millions of people. We know that. He was like a rock star. We understand that. Mm-hmm. However, he didn't take care of business at home.
Right.
He let the same people who had been running the church for years continue running it. Well, there's an old adage, you know, that when the cat's away, what did the mice do?
They play, yep.
Some of these mice, however, were bigger mice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of putting the title to my next book. Remember that book of Mice and Men? I was thinking of entitling my next book on the death of JP1, of Rats and Men. But anyway, these are bigger than mice that he left in charge. Well, you don't do that. The chaos that ensued with the Vatican Bank scandal, with this scandal, with that scandal, there was nobody really in charge taking responsibility for any of these things, watching these things. It was a disastrous home situation for the church. In the meantime, Terry, something Yes. else is happening. We have had a man in charge of creating the world's bishops accused of being a Freemason.
Wow.
And the proof was brought to the Pope.
Yes.
That's the reason for the investigation to begin with,
mm-hmm.
was because that proof was irrefutable. And this doesn't combine with Catholicism at all.
No.
You've got a man accused of being a Freemason who's naming all of the bishops in the Catholic world.
Wow.
This is insanity.
Yes.
Insanity. I thought it was insanity until yesterday. I found an insanity greater than this. Somebody told me, I was talking to another priest theologian, very brilliant man. He said, well, at present, the Pope has in the Vatican a Monsignor who is chaplain, listen to this carefully, chaplain at 3 Masonic lodges.
Oh, my gosh.
I said, what are you talking about?
He's chaplain
at 3. Yes. I said, but anyone who's a Mason can't be a Mason to begin with. You have a Monsignor. He's working for the Pope in the Vatican. And he said, not only is he chaplain at 3 Masonic lodges, chaplain, he calls himself, he wrote a book defending Freemasons and Catholics. There's no problem whatsoever. And he's in one of the congregations of the Vatican at present.
Oh,
this is where we are. This is where we are. All right. Now, I don't want to leave everybody with a negative taste of everything happening in the church is horrible. All right. Because that's not true either.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you what I think the solution is. The solution is to stop thinking so much. And I just got done telling you about the corruption in the central government. And I'm going to tell you, don't concern yourself as much with that as with your own Catholic faith and your own spirituality.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
One thing is the government of the political arm of the church in the Vatican. Another thing is your Catholic faith. And the problem that we have so often as Catholics, we confuse all of this.
Yes.
And we make it one. It's not one. It is not one. You know your faith. You were taught at your mother's knees your Catholic faith. You
That's
were
right.
taught through Catholic education, everything. You hold on to that. And that is what's growing today. That's what's growing today,
yes.
Terry.
Yes, I agree.
I have people coming to me who have been without faith for years, now looking for the truth of the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church. This is the Catholic Church,
yeah.
Not the corruption that's happening in a Vatican bank, in a this, in a that
right.
scandal. That's not it. That is not the faith. That is the political part of the church.
Father Murr,
unfortunately, is going to be with us as long as human beings are with us.
I'm hoping we can get it in, but I want you to come back to tell the rest of the story, because this story is fascinating. Once Pope Paul VI gets the information, and then I don't know if you're able to tomorrow. I'm putting you on the air on a spot here, but I want to hear the rest of that story. And also, Father, did you know that when Pope Francis came out with his latest encyclical, that the Masons in Spain came out and approved and saying they were very happy with that document? Are you aware of that? I'm asking you right on the air.
I'm not, Terry, to tell you the truth, I'm not aware of it.
But not surprised.
Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah. Well, that was it.
Why wouldn't they?
That's what Monsignor, a friend of mine, gave me that information. Now,
can you imagine? Just imagine to anyone who's got a little bit of history in his or her mind.
Right.
Can you imagine beginning an encyclical with the, or even a subtitle of your encyclical being the Freedom Call of the French Revolution?
Yes. That's shocking. But all I want to say is, if you can come back tomorrow to finish this story and a little bit more about the Masons, because I know I met Abbot Boniface Luki, who I interviewed back in 93, and he has very similar statements about a guy by the name of Bugnini, and again, he worked with him during the before, during, and after the council regarding the liturgy, and what he has to say is consistent with what you're saying regarding the infiltration of the Freemasons into the church. So this is a fascinating topic. Now, you can't give me an answer yet, but I'm hoping you can come by, even if it's just another segment tomorrow, to talk about this, because I want to promote the book also. I know you don't care about people making money on it, but I want people to know how they can get your book, Father. Could you share that with us, please? I'm twisting your arm here. Go ahead.
Sure. It's on Amazon.
Good.
It's called The Godmother, Mother Pasqualina.
Yes.
And it's for sale on Amazon.
Good.
And I would also really ask people to consider a subscription to Inside the Vatican.
Oh yeah, big time!
It's an excellent magazine.
Yes.
And Inside the Vatican is the entire interview. It's 12 pages interview with me. And next month they're going to continue it also on an interview with me about precisely Bugnini that you just mentioned.
Well, I'm just being honest with you. Yeah. And I want to see if you can't come back, at least I'll record it with you, because that is such a fascinating topic. And don't forget what Father Murr just said. If you subscribe to Inside the Vatican, then you're going to get next month's issue, where it's another set of questions that they're asking Father Murr regarding all this, things that are going on in the church. To me, all this makes sense when you see it from a perspective now over the last 50 years. I have to be honest, Father. I'm, 8 years younger than you, but I look at the church that I grew up with and I see the church right now and I'm like, what happened to our church? And I want to just say that, as Bishop Strickland said, we've lost the supernatural. Isn't that what Freemasonry is all about? Is, you replace God with man?
I'm meeting with a group of men tonight, a group I've never met with. I don't know them at all. They've invited me to speak with them. And they're upset by the same token with the church.
Yeah.
Now is the time to love her more.
Absolutely. Don't leave. There's no place to go, folks. We can, we're here to, the lay people, we're here to sanctify the temporal order. That's our role. Father Murr, could we receive a blessing before I ask you my final question?
Absolutely. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain forever.
Amen. Father Murr, you know it. What state should we be living in?
State of grace, of course.
Amen. Not that fake state, not anything else. And if you haven't been to confession in a while, folks, time to go. If you haven't been over a month, that's too long. Also, keep in mind, pray that rosary. This is the feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And may God richly bless you and your family. Up next, I can see it in Studio B, Matthew Arnold's coming up to inspire you to help you fall in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. May God richly bless you, and thanks for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.